during this month of November, I like the fact that the church gives us kind of the big picture of what life and ultimately death is all about. It reminds us that there are three different groups within what we call the communion of the saints. What is brought out in our gospel reading today, that to Christ all are alive, even those who have died. But there are three different groups that the church gives us. The first is the church in glory, the saints that we celebrate on All Saints Day with such beautiful celebration. We look at them and they shine as examples for us. We see the saints and we know that if they did it, we can do it. That's why the church canonizes so many people from different walks of life, religious, priests, but also mothers, fathers, single women. Then we have the church suffering people, children, all saints, to show us that we can do it. The church in purgatory, those holy men and women who at the end of their earthly life died in friendship with God and will one day be in the full glory of heaven, but need a little cleaning up, so to speak, before they are fully ready. The church suffering, we pray for on All Souls Day and every time we celebrate Mass for the dead. But to some extent, those are not the two most important groups, because none of us are a part of those groups. We're members of the third group in the communion of saints, and that is what has often been called the church militant, the church fighting. Now, Christianity is often referred to as a religion of peace. The idea that somehow we're militant or fighting may seem foreign, but this is Veterans Day weekend, and I am a great lover of those who serve in our armed forces. I grew up in the shadow of Fort Leavenworth in Kansas. My dad was a soldier himself. I've always had a great love and respect for those who serve our country. Today also happens to be, today in fact itself, the 238th anniversary of the birthday of the Marine Corps in 775. My best friend is a Marine, and I'm always inspired by the men and women who wear the uniform of our country and go off in our military and fight. Now, it's not that certainly we glorify violence or weapons or anything like that, or that we would elevate war. Rather, I think it's the courage, the selflessness that we see in our military that is meant to then inspire us as the church militant. Since coming to Washington, D.C., I've had a chance to go visit a lot of the museums and the various shrines around Washington, D.C., and I love history. I'm inspired by those that have gone before us. Particularly, there's been a couple times when I've got to see some of the famous flags that have flown in various parts of the world, carried by our military. I went down to Quantico a couple weeks ago to the Marine Corps Museum down there. And they have that famous flag that you see on the Marine Corps Memorial, where the soldiers are all struggling to raise the flag on Mount Suvachi in Iwo Jima. Well, that actual flag that they raised is in the Marine Corps Museum down in Quantico. It's a huge museum, but when I saw that flag, I know the great pride that is for our country, and especially for the Marine Corps, the greatest moment of the Marine Corps, to raise that flag. But I also noticed that flag's not in very good shape. It flew up there in triumph for almost a month in heavy winds and took much battle and fighting, and that flag doesn't look very good today. Yesterday, I was in Baltimore, and I went to Fort McHenry, where, of course, the Star-Spangled Banner was written. And it was one of the most moving experiences of me ever to hear the Star-Spangled Banner. There we are in the museum, and perhaps some of you have been there, and we're inside this museum and we're watching a video of Francis Scott Key and the battle for Baltimore during the War of 1812, and all of a sudden, with great joy, Francis Scott Key, of course, sees the flag still flying in the morning by the dawn's early light, and he knows that we've not surrendered, that we were successful defending Fort McHenry and the city of Baltimore. And right at that moment, the Star-Spangled Banner starts to play, which he wrote for that occasion. And then the whole movie screen just lifts up, and there you are staring right at Fort McHenry out behind you with the Star-Spangled Banner flying today. Now, that flag looks in pretty good shape today. They take good care of the flag that flies 24 hours a day at Fort McHenry. But of course, the original Star-Spangled Banner is in the Museum of American History, one of my favorite places to go. And of course, that flag does not look so good. It has seen war and battle, people wanting to reference it by even taking parts of it over the year. It's not in very good shape. I think as I look at those two flags, both the one on Iwo Jima, the Star-Spangled Banner, and many others that have been carried in this battle of earthly life, I wonder if at the end of our lives, maybe we're not supposed to look a little bit more like those beat up and worn out flags like Iwo Jima and the Star-Spangled Banner. If we are truly the church militant, then it means that we can't simply surrender every time battle comes to us in the Christian life. We need to be at the end of our life not in pristine condition, but ultimately beat up and scarred and having fought with all we've got and given the last full measure of devotion for our faith. I think that's what inspires me about our military, because in the midst of a world that is so selfish and turned in on me, 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 here we have men and women that are willing to go out and say, it's not about me. I will lay down my life for the buddy next to me, for my country back home as I'm overseas in Afghanistan. People that are willing to say, there is something greater here than me, and it's willing to fight for and it's willing to die for. That is what is so inspiring, I think, for us as we look at our veterans. Yesterday, the last two of the Doolittle Raiders, the last three of them, came together for one final time to toast before they're all in their 90s, so they're not going to be able to get together again. We think of the courage that it took for them to take off from an aircraft carrier, knowing they don't have enough fuel to make it to Japan and land safely, and yet they're going to go do it, and they turn the tide of the Second World War. We think of all those brave men and women who served in Vietnam, not even knowing if they would even be welcomed back home, but they ended up fighting for our country nonetheless. It's that kind of selfishness, that selflessness, that inspires us in our Christian life too. Because the great secret of Christian life, the secret that our men and women in uniform know, is that the greatest joy in life is to find that it's not about you. The greatest joy is to find something in your life that is worth laying down your life for. Now, our country is a wonderful thing to fight for. We are free today because of those who have worn the uniform. But our gospel today points us that as good as this life is, as good as marriage is in this life, that's for this life. There is another life that the church in glory does point us toward. We're all fighting the battle of this life because we know there is something even greater. We look at those brave brothers in our first reading, that when their faith is tested, when they were called to fight, they said, we'll do it. We will lay down our life rather than surrender. So many times I'm inspired by the story of our armed forces, where it is clear that this is a hopeless situation, like we will not surrender. We will fight to the last man if we have to hold this little patch of ground. We need that same kind of intensity in our faith. I look at our Marines especially, and I'm embarrassed sometimes in my spiritual battles how quickly I surrender. Oh, I don't feel like praying today. Or maybe I'll just pass up on that opportunity to do good today. And I feel like such a wimp in comparison to those who go out and fight for our country. We're called to be the church militant, and we're called to look at the example of those who have fought, the martyrs, like in our first reading, to stir up our courage, to say, they did it, I can do it. I'm not going to surrender on whatever this temptation is, whether it's to have that next Oreo or to look at that next thing on the internet or to ignore my spouse or my children or whatever it is that turns us in on ourselves. There's a battle there, a battle that I think oftentimes we just surrender. Said by the great fathers of the church that we never really know how strong the enemy is until we get up and fight. So many times we've been laying down. I know I do it. Today we're called to take inspiration, to be the church militant, to get our courage stirred up. As I was in Baltimore yesterday and learning about the War of 1812. Of course, that was the time when the enemy came in and burned Washington, D.C. to the ground, burned our Capitol, burned our White House. That stirred our courage to say, you know, we've got a real enemy. We've got to start fighting. One of the greatest mistakes we make in the spiritual life is to think that somehow there's no enemy. That basically we can just kind of go through life and we all just kind of wind up in heaven. This month is meant to point us to the fact that that's not true. Jesus says that the road to heaven is difficult. It's narrow. He even says in one case that few follow it. We're called to be like the Marines then, the few, the proud, the strong. In our spiritual life, we've got to fight those battles. Today, as we gather for this Mass, we know that we have what we need to fight. Because our weapons in the spiritual life are not going to be the guns and the cannons that defend temporal realities like Fort McHenry. Our weapons are those of the sacraments, prayer, self-discipline. Today we gather and we receive the greatest weapon that we have against evil, against spiritual life, against our own laziness and selfishness. We gather around the Eucharist. Bread for the journey, spiritual strengthening for the fight. Today, we recognize that we're in a battle. The most important battle we'll ever fight. The battle for our own salvation, eternal life. But just as in our military, we know we don't fight alone. In fact, as many of the soldiers coming back from Vietnam remarked, they said, in the end, it wasn't even so much that we were fighting for our country. We didn't know if we'd even be welcomed back home. In the end, we realized we're fighting for each other, for those next to us. That's part of the communion of the saints, too. We're all in this together. So today, as we honor our veterans, as we honor the birthday of the Marine Corps, we recommit ourselves to be spiritual Marines, willing to charge up whatever hill the devil's going to throw at us today or tomorrow or the next day. And in the end, to arrive beaten up, torn, broken, like that star-spangled banner. But in the end, to know that we are free. Free from our selfishness. Free from evil influences. Free to be who we're called to be. Because in the end, the Marines did not charge up Mount Suribachi so that you could do what you want. They charged up that hill so we could be free to be who God calls us to be. That is the great joy we have today, to continue that fight. Because we know on this Veterans Day that we are the land of the free because of the brave. May we continue to be brave in our struggle as a member of the Church Militant.